The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
EU ministers are to debate the bloc's approach to trade talks with the United States, with Brussels scrambling to head off 30% tariffs threatened by the US President Donald Trump. On Saturday, Trump announced he would hammer the bloc with 30% tariffs if no trade agreement is reached by the 1st of August. Joining me now to talk about all of this is Assistant Professor at the UCD School of Economics, Nora Strecker, and Europe correspondent for Euronews, Shona Murray. We'll go to Shona first. Shona, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
First of all, tell us what is on the agenda for the ministers when they meet.
Well, entirely that. I mean, the news came on Friday afternoon, Friday evening to the European Commission that Donald Trump was going to apply 30% tariffs if no agreement had been made by August. And that also that if the EU were to retaliate, then that extra retaliation that the EU was applying would also apply to the 30%. So today we've heard from EU Commissioner for Trade, Mara Šefčovič, who said if the 30% tariffs go ahead, it would be impossible. It would completely prohibit trade as normal with the EU and the US, which is, I guess, is a statement of obvious. But he also believes that the dynamics were proceeding in a way that he believes there will be some sort of a deal, a very skeletal deal, not a proper trade deal, over the next few weeks before the August 1st deadline.
Now, if the 30% tariffs were to be imposed, it would definitely trigger a European response, which would really mean a trade war full on.
That's right. So far, the EU has together around initially 95 billion euros worth of retaliatory tariffs, not on pharmaceuticals, not on digital tax yet. And that has been reduced to about 71 billion. And we'll find out the details of that today. The EU member states are going to...
You're listening to Shona. I know it's a bit scrappy there. We'll try and get a better line to Shona. I'm asking you to interpret the mind of Donald Trump, the art of the deal, and whether or not, as is suggested, this is purely a negotiating tactic.
Now, I may play golf, but I didn't read the Varded deal, and I'm not good at interpreting people's minds, least of all Donald Trump. But yes, I think this is absolutely just a negotiating tactic. He's trying to put additional pressure on the EU to sit down and come up with something that he's going to agree with. Is the same thing that happened at the end of May when he threatened 50%. Mm. Now it's down to 30, but you know it's still far above what it was, 1.5%.
Yeah, now the issue with Trump is if you look at the markets in the US, they had a record high at the end of last week. So the markets don't believe him.
In a sense, they don't. But when he imposed the tariffs or started talking about the tariffs initially, the bond markets reacted instantaneously. The next day, everything started falling. And I think the reason we're not seeing that same sort of reaction is because everybody thinks he's going to back down.
Taco Trump.
And it happened, you know, it happened last week when he backed off the July 9th deadline. And, you know, there's sort of the hope that perhaps this will happen again or we'll get a deal that is not as painful as the 50 or 30 or 20% that were threatened.
Now, the possible responses from Europe leading to a trade war. Trade wars are not good for anybody.
No, they're terrible.
So who is advising Trump? Is it? I mean, Besant seems to be Trump's mouthpiece rather than someone who would be advising him with appropriate counsel.
Compared to the first administration, where there were lots of people that were established in service, that had worked on trade, that had worked on economics, that said, listen, I'm willing to work for this administration because he needs good information. But that also meant that very often he was opposed. His own advisor said, this is not a good idea. He doesn't like hearing that very clearly. So at the moment, he doesn't have advisors that are willing to
push back.
So those
around him are afraid of shoot the messenger theory.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That they lose their jobs if they tell them the truth.
And it's happened every time that something that sort of got interpreted negatively has come out. He basically blames his advisors, who essentially just said what he wanted them to say.
Okay. I'll go back to Shona now. Shona, good morning again.
Hiya, Pat.
Yeah, much better line. Talk to us then about the content of this bunch of goods that would be affected by European tariffs.
So, I mean, one of the problems that the European Commission has is they will run out of goods to tariff. And this is why it's a concern for Ireland, because what you could have is a digital tax applying in the long run. And so initially the EU had 95 billion euros worth of retaliatory taxes, which is in relation to these, you know, retaliation to 30%. That's been revised down to about 71 billion because some member states have negotiated certain items to be taken off the tariff list. And we don't know exactly what they are yet, but what the rumor is abound that it's spirits, potentially bourbon again, because that was something very much heavily lobbied by certain member states. So we'll find out the details of that today. That will be circulated to the member states, and that those tariffs will apply if there's no deal by August. Obviously, the EU doesn't want to do that because everything in it then is on the table. And remember, what I got a really interesting briefing from a US official last week, which was extremely sobering. But this is not just about tariffs. This is about non-tariff goods, so barriers to entry into the EU market for particular agriculture, and also very specifically the tech industry, the European or the United States. All the people around Donald Trump now, the Mark Zuckerbergs, the Elon Musk, they really just want to dismantle the EU's Digital Markets Act, Digital Services Act, which are there to protect democracy, European democracy, from harsh or threatening disinformation, and also, taxes or targeting of those tech companies. So it's not just about tariffs. It's a much wider negotiation that's going to be ongoing with the United States.
But can it be that one man, one administration can actually say to a bloc the size of the EU, which is larger than the United States in terms of its population and so on, they can say to the EU, we want you to change your regulations to suit us.
Yeah.
I mean, it is unconscionable that the bloc would fold like that.
This is a key question because, you know, for the past couple of years, even the past 6 months, the EU has been saying our standards, our regulations are there to protect European citizens and they're not up for negotiation. And you would hope that that would be the case. But actually, there's a lot of questions ongoing about the EU, whether or not they will defend its own heft. 450 million people on the continent has particular strength. But then you have member states like Germany and others who want a quick deal just to ensure that there's some level of stability. Others saying, look, we're never going to have stability under Donald Trump. So that is going to be an ongoing discussion. But you'd imagine that the Commission, and I think at least they're saying for now, we won't be dismantling our regulatory systems, but you just never know.
Now, we know that many people, including Mario Draghi, believe that basically Europe is over-regulated. So, I mean, there could be, in theory, some tweaking. But some of the demands from Trump, that, for example, American goods imported into Europe would not have VAT. I mean, how stupid can any one individual be?
Yeah, I mean,
given
that
there's VAT on every European commodity, why should there not be on every imported commodity?
Well, that's the point. I mean, Stefkovic has said to me in an interview not that long ago that VAT is not up for negotiation because that's the European way of collecting tax. And it's, you know, it's not something there just to target the Americans. The thing is, they're not negotiating on a level partnership because Donald Trump consistently says that the EU is set up specifically to go after and make vulnerable and to, as he says, screw the United States. So when you're starting on that basis, you know, it's very hard to move forward in a way that's in any way reliable. And then similarly, in relation to the United States then bullying the EU on certain aspects, it doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, for sure, it's sort of a let's see what happens situation.
Now, the problem is that the damage that Trump is doing in rendering the United States an unreliable trading partner and an unreliable military partner is that Europe is going to change its ways to reduce its dependence on the United States, which in the long run may be a good thing and certainly will be bad for the United States.
That's right. And militarily, similarly, I mean, you saw the NATO conference, the agreement from NATO allies to increase spending from 2% of GDP to 5%, which is a massive jump if you think of a country with even a small GDP. I mean, that is really, and the European Union is the same policy. Most EU member states are in NATO, only four aren't. So that is really the EU then moving in a place where it doesn't have the same reliance on the US in the next 10 to 20 years when it comes to its own defence, which is very important. And the other question about it is, and this is another key thing where the trade and the defence piece meet, because one of the things the EU is trying to say to the US is if you go easy on the tariffs, part of this deal is we'll buy all of our weapons from, well, not all, but a lot of our weapons from the United States. That means we'll have less of a trade deficit, and it'll obviously help your military industry. But then you have other countries like France saying, well, hold on, why are we, if we've got all this billions of euro we're spending on defence, why are we giving it to the United States? Why don't we invest in our own industry? And not only that, not just from an investment point of view, but we have to have design control, because there's a concern about the so-called kill switch, that if you're using military weaponry from the US, who has full control over that? Is there such a thing as a kill switch that can be used to stop the use of that weaponry? So all those questions come into it. But for now, the EU is saying to the United States, we'll buy more LNG and we'll buy weapons from you to close the deficit if you ease off on this tariff war that you're imposing on us.
Shona, thank you very much for joining us. That's Shona Murray, Europe correspondent for Euronews. Nora Strecker is still listening to all of that with me. Nora, I mean, the responses from the European Union, they're talking about definitely we'll have negotiation between now and August the 1st, which is not that far away. But at the end of the day, I mean, we heard earlier, we're talking to the French ambassador to Ireland, there's steel in Macron's spine, whatever about Mertz, we don't know yet. And Giorgia Meloni seems to have a little thing for Donald Trump.
The issue is that essentially the EU has sort of already begun to slightly fall apart on this negotiation. They don't agree on how hard to go against the tariffs. And that's not how to win. That's not how they're going to win a negotiation. Not with Donald Trump. Not while he's running it on social media.
You've got to be stronger.
You've got to be much stronger. Absolutely. A bit of that steel would be good in Germany.
What weapons do you think the EU has? I mean, is that digital tax the kind of the doomsday weapon that they can deploy?
So the issue is that the tariffs, the counter tariffs that have already been sort of negotiated among at the Commission level, that we sort of know, all right, this is the package, the formerly 95, now 72 billion. The issue here is that once we've done that, what's the escalation? And because if the negotiations fall apart by August 1st and we implement that package, there will need to be a ready-made escalation.
I mean, one of the things that they're talking about, bourbon being exempt, I mean, that's to do with presumably the French wine and brandy and other European exporters
and other
of
spirits,
booze.
Exactly. So there is a bit of that where essentially every country has their sort of prestige or their niche products and sectors that they want to protect. Ireland has pharmaceuticals and semiconductors. Yeah. We don't want those tariffed either. And the threat of 200% tariffs on pharmaceutical products, that would destroy Irish exports.
To the United States. I mean, there
absolutely
are companies, of course, that are manufacturing for other markets.
Absolutely. And let's be fair, the majority of those manufacturing sites, they're the only ones manufacturing that type of product for the world. So yes, there would be one line that essentially is going to get closed off with very high tariffs, and 30% is very high.
Now, how many fronts can, in terms of trade, can Donald Trump fight on? I mean, he's fighting with Brazil over Bolsonaro's trial. He's fighting with Mexico. He's fighting with Canada. He's fighting with Japan. He's fighting with Vietnam. And of course, he's fighting with China as well as the EU. I mean, when Canada, the EU, Japan, Mexico are all talking to each other, I mean, at what point does Trump say, uh-oh?
Well, he hasn't said it yet. So I'm not sure to what extent he fully believes that these countries can get together. But there's a much higher chance that these countries will get together and say, hey, let's actually all sort of be on the same frontier, rather than everybody making a deal and everybody creating a deal that Donald Trump will be happy with. Because let's remember, in the background of this, there is a big, big budget deficit that he has just created for himself, or that Congress created for him, that he will need to fill.
Yeah, and there's no way they're going to fill that. I mean, the United States debt is such that it will undermine the dollar.
Absolutely. And it already is. And when the bill got passed July 3rd, the dollar slipped. It's not good for an economy to basically predict outward that there's going to be $3.3 trillion deficit.
What's your understanding of his reaction to the BRICS countries and trying to penalize them and warning them, don't you dare try to set up an alternative world currency?
This was a shot across the bow to Europe and to Canada and to Mexico and to countries that are still holding out on sort of fully giving him the deal that he wants, right? So, you know, perhaps we should all be reading Art of the Deal. Let's borrow it from the library, though, because this is what he thinks is going to get him there.
I mean, it's hard to understand. Like, on the one hand, he's penalizing the BRICS countries. But when you look at the components of that, China, Russia, Brazil, India, yeah, and others now queuing up to, including Middle Eastern countries with whom he allegedly has cordial relations, accepting jumbo jets from them.
The issue is, though, that the products that these countries send to the US, there's... So China, let's take that one out for now. Russia already has trade sanctions imposed on it. They haven't gone away yet. The exports from Brazil going into the US, there are certain sectors that are really heavily used, but they're not a big enough deal. The impact isn't going to be big enough to really hammer those countries with tariffs, with the exception of China. So these letters that were sent, and BRICS were, you know, there's places like Vietnam and Thailand on that list, and South Africa, which doesn't have massive exports to the US, but who have sort of maintained...
But don't forget, there's a genocide of white farmers going on in South Africa, according to Donald Trump.
I'm going back to South Africa. I'm going to be fine. It is entirely to get them to negotiate and to basically demonstrate to countries that are still holding out and sort of fully committing and letting him have the tariffs that he wants, that he is willing to retaliate very, very heavily.
He was supposed to have 200 deals. He has none.
He's
he
got
has a
one.
Mickey Mouse
He's
deal with the UK.
Yeah.
But that's not even a deal.
It's better than none,
that's
though.
A letter of agreement of some kind. Anyway, Nora, thank you very much for joining us. Nora Strecker, who's Associate Professor of Economics at UCD.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.